Just before I left the house, Shirley made a comment, and she said, "Oh, I just love to go." And I said, "Why is it so special today, hon? You've heard me preach a lot." She said, "I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about hearing that singing up there." And so I asked Brother Slayton if they could be sure I get a copy of this for my precious wife to hear. And have you ever done anything dumb? While you're turning to Nehemiah, I want to tell you what I got into now, where you can laugh at the preacher. My son-in-law and I went down to the Cumming Hospital, and I sat down to wait a few minutes by a garbage can, that big old barrel, and I sat in the chair, and he went around to ask for some information, and I looked over in that barrel, and there was a brand-new $5 bill. I said, "Man, who would throw a brand-new $5 bill in the trash can?" I reached over and got that $5 bill, slid in his coat pocket. And by the way, Jay Bottoms told me a long time ago, said, "Son, you're in the preaching business now." Said, "If you get you a suit, you always unsew those pockets." He said, "They come sewed up." And he said, "You never know when a good sister might come around and won't put a $5 bill in there." That's Jay Bottoms. Some of you boys know Bottoms, don't you? And so John came back and he said, "Pop, what'd you see in that trash bin?" And I said, "A brand new $5 bill." And boy, I picked that thing up. Somebody was careless. Find, you know, losers, weepers, finders, keepers. He called me off the side. He said, "Come around here." We went around the side, and he said, "Look on that barrel." And it said, "For the needy children's Christmas." you're talking about having a bad one. And he said, "You know, this thing's cameras everywhere." He said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to get down on my knees and hands and crawl back that barrel, and I'm putting the $5 bill in and the extra one." He said, "That won't do no good." He said, "This is on camera now. And you know I'm hesitant to go back to that hospital." Now, if you can beat that of being dumb, try it someday. They still laugh at me about that. Now, I want you to turn in Nehemiah chapter 1. And verse 1, and I'm going to read a little bit, and then I want to preach a little bit. If the Lord will let me, he knows I've been around a while, but I know a man that's got seniority on me. I'm going to be talking about integrity today a little bit. And in Nehemiah 1:1, it says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Shishlu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace." Now look where Nehemiah was. He's about 1,000 miles away from his little city, down in a beautiful palace. Why would he have such concern about that little city of Israel over there? Wouldn't have been about 50,000 of them in that whole land then. "And Hakaliah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Verse number 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said," this is a sweet prayer, read it all when you get home and have time. "And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, and confess the sins of the children of Israel," which, I want you to notice this now. You know what we do now? We say they and them. And we'll point a big old finger about them way up under somewhere and what they've done to our country. But I want you to see what Nehemiah, and he was a man of integrity. He said right to start, we had to see, and we have sinned. We have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Now, don't tell me that it's somebody off over yonder, my friends. The problem with the church is today that we won't get down. Jesus taught that in his model prayer. To pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or do we point at somebody else? You know what I heard the other day? I want to ask you this question. If you're thinking about this man of integrity and these scriptures and what he did for that little city over there, which was 1,000 miles away from him, he could just push that thing out of his mind. He was serving the wine to the king there. Had great friends. They saw the integrity of Nehemiah, and he had that responsible position. Why didn't he just forget about that over there? But he sat down and prayed. You know what I heard the other day? If I was to ask you, what condition are we in America today, would you say we were in a revival season in America today? Or possibility, would you say we were in a rebuilding situation in America today? Or would you say, honestly, and just be honest, we're in a state of reproach. I'm almost ashamed when I pray now to ask God to bless America. You know why? Because of what we've done in this country of ours. How many babies never got to hold their mother in their arms and nurse at their breast today? Over the last 30 years, how many of those little babies has been slaughtered through abortion and their little remains thrown in an incinerator, a trash basket? And then I bow before God and ask him to bless America. Oh, God, forgive us. I'm telling you today, we're a people of reproach today. They're laughing at us all over the world. Oh, Satan's laughing. But let me tell you to take courage. Oh, Satan will whisper in my ear. You know what he does? Erwin Lutzer left these few words. He used to be one of the great men up at Moody Bible College. He said, when Satan whispers in your ear to remember your past, and he does that so often to me, he said, you just whisper back to him and remind him of his future. And you know what it is? The bottomless pit where the fire's never quenched. And the pain is never over. Satan's doom is in that bottomless pit. Now, I'm not for sale today. You can forget about that. I'm going to be like Nehemiah. You know, Sanballat and Tobiah, they came and said, Nehemiah, come down, and we'll meet over yonder at the Huddle House in Cracker Barrel, and we'll talk this thing over. And you know what old Nehemiah said? He said, I'm doing a great work. I don't have time to fool with you. I'm not for sale today. They had something up their sleeve, and you can bet it every time. I heard the sweetest story the other day. This church was looking for a pastor, and they sent out a committee to listen to a couple of preachers. And the first one got up, and he preached out of that Luke over there about that prodigal son. Did a wonderful, touched every base, did a wonderful job. They had one old deacon in that group, gray-headed and a little bit wrinkled, had to glue his teeth in with Polydent. Have you ever experienced that yet? Hang on, that's a good thing. That Polydent's the best thing you've ever come up with. And this old man went with them. They heard that great sermon. He touched every base. That prodigal son got home, and the daddy embraced him and brought him in and dressed him up. And 2 weeks later, they went to another church to hear another possible pastor. Lo and behold, he turned to the same scripture and preached the same identical message. And when he got through, they loaded up and started home. And the boy said, well, what do you think? And the old man said, brethren, that's our pastor for our church. And they said, how do you know? He said, they preached the same scripture and the same text. And the prodigal son made the same journey. And that old deacon said, yes. But this preacher preached that sermon with tears running off of the end of his chin. And he said, that's what we need in our church and what we need today. We've got too much going on in the churches today. Never see no water. I'll tell you what the old preachers used to preach. And the tears had run off of the end of the chin. And the women's mascara had run plumb to the end of their chin. And what a beautiful sight it was. You know what? Too much of our work today is done with tears, done without tears. My wife and I, we sitting around the house, and she said, Robert, now the children's grown, the grandchildren's off in college. Said, we've got to learn to get along in this house. I said, well, lady, I thought we'd been doing pretty good, 54 years. Yeah, but she said, we've got to really get along now. And I said, well, tell me what you got in mind. She said, well, if you'll just do everything I say exactly like I say it, we'll get along real good. And boy, I tell you, that didn't fit too good with this old boy. If you want something interesting, I don't want you to turn to it now, but everybody here knows John 3:16. I know you do. Raise your hand if you know John 3:16. All right. Now, do you know Genesis 3:16? What? Nobody? Don't you read that till I get out of sight. You read that after you see my little sight and get on this Bennett Road up here. My wife said, Robert, you can cause more trouble in church than anybody I've ever seen. But remember John 3:16 and then try to learn a little bit about Genesis 3:16. We need more tears. You know what a man of integrity will do? John Lumbus, I picked him up this summer. Now, that's one man that's got integrity. He's earned it. I'm telling you what. We went to different churches he and I both had pastored. I say, John, I'll be by and get you. And we'll go to High Terror. Be ready, he said. And there he was, right ready. We went over there to church. And when we walked in, guess what? They swarmed him like yellow jackets when you hit them with your weed eater. And finally, somebody turned around and said, now, you one of them Martins from Coal Mountain? I said, yeah, I'm one of that crowd. I found out right quick what integrity was. They'd hugged him all over. He'd been the pastor 3 years. I've never been invited to go back to a church, but one time where I'd pastored. Brother, I'm not for sale, and John Lumbus was not for sale, but he had integrity in his life. What does that mean? Integrity in the business world. What does that mean? Integrity. John Lumbus stopped at Shorty Hammond's one day, and some of you may know EML. We call him Shorty. Shorty's around behind the garage, and he's trying to get a lawnmower to going. And John walked up by him and reached over and giggled. You know how John giggled. He said, Shorty, you can't get it going. Shorty said, I'll tell you something, Brother John. He said, you're a good preacher, and I love you. He said, you'll get back around the front and talk to them girls. He said, well, I can give this what it really needs, and I'll get it going. And old John said, I think I know what he meant. If you've ever had anything in like a vacation, to try to get an old lawnmower to go. Let me ask you something today. What makes you laugh? You can tell about a man by what makes him laugh. And what makes you angry? You know what makes me angry? What makes me angry? I believe Nehemiah has been the same way. You know, those boys said, come down off that wall. We want to meet with you over here and talk at a certain little town. And he said, we're busy, got a great work going on. The wall, the building, the doors and gates have been burned down. The walls were tore down, but they're standing tall right now. Tobiah, he missed it, him and old Sanballat, because those walls are beautiful around Jerusalem. I've seen them. They're still standing, but there's always some critic that'll come around and try to tear down everything. What makes a man angry? When the Supreme Court of our United States voted and said that there's not a thing in the world wrong with this marriage. You know what I'm talking about. I don't talk this much in the church, but it's time somebody stood up and spoke up and stood like a man. Did you know that over half of the Christians in the United States of America didn't even go to the polls and vote this last election, and then you wonder what's going on up in Washington, D.C. You know what? Don't you turn and say everybody voted. Over half of the Christians in this country didn't think it mattered enough to even vote today. I'm telling you what makes me mad. go down to the ball game somewhere and they play that national anthem. I like to hear that little old short black guy that sings at the Braves game sometimes. Got such a beautiful voice. He'll sing that great song about a home sweet home. And have you seen him? Timothy Miller's his name. I know him better than do the ball players because I like him better than do most of the ball players. Now, let me ask you a question. How come people leave church over one little idea that they didn't like? Ain't nobody turned off the football games on the weekends because Herschel Walker, have they? What happened? How come people are so easily irritated in the church? That's Satan whispering in that ear. You hang in there with that church. Don't you run off from your church. We're not for sale today. I still believe in the old-fashioned new birth experience today. They call it a relationship now. They call that a relationship. Back in my day, I believe they told Nicodemus right in his face, put his finger right in his face, and said, ye must be born again. And old Nicodemus had all kind of clothes on to prove that he was a ruler of the Jews. Boy, if that didn't trim him down, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. What makes you angry today? That makes me angry today. God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And you wonder what's the matter. Well, I tell you what, I'm afraid judgment's coming. I pray we hadn't seen nothing yet. And you say, well, you're a man of gloom and doom. No, I'm not. You know why I'm not? I read over there in Revelation how it was going to end up. You can't get me down. I read that last book. And in that first chapter, in the 17th and 18th verse, you know what it said? Old John had been on that little island cast away for preaching. There he was lonely. And he saw the glory of the Lord coming in that 17th verse. And he fell on his face as dead. And that man put his right hand on him and said, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Read Revelation 1, 16, 17 and 18 and see if that won't tell you how it's going to turn out. He's coming. He's coming. Old John, the other day, he talked a little in the church. And you know what he said? He was all, you know how he's drawn now, but don't you sell that man short. He's got integrity. He said, he's coming, and he really is coming, John said, big old tears in his eyes. And old John told me about his little wife and his children so far away, and now their daughter, have you seen her little arm grown right again her stomach and was hobbling along from a stroke? But old John is a man of integrity today. Let me tell you, when the storm clouds are the darkest, you just remember, just above, the stars are still shining. Miss Gentilette, y'all mentioned her, and I know her. And she was, the other day I called her, and they were fixing to go to Florida, that Mayo Clinic. And I thought I'd cheer her up. I said, how are you, Patricia? Oh, I'm fine, Robert. How are you and Shirley? What about folks that tear their pantyhose with a toenail and have a fit about it? You thought you had a problem. And that lady said, I'm just fine. Said, I'm going to Florida. And said, I finally talked my husband into flying. And she said, I just love to fly. My wife won't even think about it. And she said, we're not going on no cruise either. But little Pat said that plane will leave out. And said, it may be rainy and stormy in Atlanta, but 5 minutes. She said, we'll break out of the clouds. She said, we'll see the beauty. The sun shining down on those clouds. If you've never seen it, you just ought to see that. 5 minutes, that plane will put you above them clouds. And somebody made a song about a flight without an airplane, my friends. I don't want to get you down with my preaching, but I just want to be honest and face facts. And we need to face facts before God has to bring judgment on us. Did you know this had happened 150 years before Nehemiah wrote his book, when they'd taken him Babylon to captivity and all? And here he is. What was he responsible? Why was he saying us and our father? All the church is a brotherhood, my friends. When one suffers, all suffer. And we need to band together as soldiers marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Somebody ran up to me the other day at the church. I had a little old cross here. This lady said, "Wow, that's pitiful. That thing's turned bottom side upwards." I said, "Lady, it don't matter which way it's turned. It still means the same thing to me, dear lady. God bless you. I love the singing of those old hymns." I had so many people that's got education come into my house while I go to visit, and I won't call no names, but one of them used to be a lawyer, and one of them's got a PhD in education. I had to get out of that house, get my mind back together. I tell you what, that PhD just means piled higher and deeper. That's about all it means. And I checked out. I told them all bye. I said, "God bless you, folks. I'll see you around. I'm going to Silver City." Thank God for Silver City. Let me ask you this. Did you ever watch those Rose Bowl parades out in California, New Year's? One year they had them beautiful floats. They said they cost $2.5 to $3 million. Here come one down the road, and it said Standard Oil across it. That thing was beautiful. And then a few minutes, that thing began to bark and cough, and it stopped the whole parade. And the announcers began to say, "Isn't that a reproach? Isn't that a shame? All those resources, Standard Oil, and here their float is out of gas." Out of gas. I'm telling you today, we may look pretty, but do we have what it takes to make the old wheels turn, the wheels inside the wheels, and see the glory of God? You still have it at Silver City, and I feel it, and I know it. And somebody said, "Well, why do you people get so emotional?" I asked, "How do they get so dead?" And try to tell me they've got all going on that us old folks dismissed. I'm telling you what. I remember when I was a little boy and I got saved at 11-year-old. Preacher Frank Vaughn preached about Revelation 6 and verse 8 about that pale horse. And his rider was death. He scared me literally out of my shoes. They'll say, "Don't scare my children." Thank God that man scared me. And I had never been as scared since, because I found something that'll endure. Thank God. And the devil told me, said, "Well, if you join the church, here come those old ants around, those old precious ants. And they store their clothes in the mothballs, you know, and you'll smell just like a mothball." Sure enough, I joined, and here they came. Picked me plumb off the floor, and I was a little embarrassed. Every one of those precious ants, I've not got but one left in the world. And it's Bernie Smells. All y'all know is shouting Bernie. That's my only aunt. But those sweet, what I'd give to smell them old mothballs again, and the sweet embrace of those good old aunts that loved me and prayed for me. What's wrong with getting excited about our religion? What happened to that man the other day at the Brave game? They said he was sober and fell off that thing and got killed at the ball game. I love him as much as you do. But it looks like it's turning bad for the old Brave boys, don't it? It sure does. What about it today? Do you get excited? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to be through. Thomas Hammond is slowly going out to meet God now. He runs all that Hammond's Crossroad. That's where it got his name. Thomas has got terminal cancer. And they said it's just a matter of time, Thomas. He told me that, me and Roy Martin the other day. I said, "Thomas, that could be said about all of us. It's just a matter of time." Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? I'm talking about not just a little relationship. I'm talking about being born of the Spirit and power of God. Are you ready? Have you been born again? Your sins all washed away. And Thomas Hammond's wife is an educated girl from Florida. And she was a nurse when she first came up here. And that lady, she said she was in the intensive care unit one night at midnight. And an old gentleman in there just groaning. And the other nurses told her, said, that's a mean old man. Said they don't think he knows the Lord. She said she was working as patiently as she knew how with him. And said all of a sudden, he just raised up in that bed. And he said, Lord, you did forgive me. You have saved me. Lord, you forgave me. And fell back on his bed and went home to be with the Lord. She said that impressed her more than every sermon she'd ever heard, every Bible verse. She said she saw it work in that dying hour, the glory of going home. He said, Lord, you did forgive me. You did save me. I want them to get a song today. I want to ask you, have you been saved? Say, would it do if you're on that dying bed to lift those hands and say, Lord, you cleansed me from all of my sins. You did save me. And to go home to be with the Lord. You can't beat that nowhere. I don't care what you get. I don't care what kind of car home you live in. You'll never beat that simple experience of grace in an old-fashioned altar. I still love it. I'm growing old. My work will soon be finished. But I'll tell you one thing. I can say with that old man, they said he was mean. I knew the family name. And I know a little about it. But you know what? I bought that because grace does that. Yeah. You know what happened when that woman, they drug her in, that committee on moral issues, they drug her right into the temple in a circle. Jesus was there. And they said, now, Master, this woman was taken in the very act. How'd they know when to catch her in the very act of adultery? How'd they know that? Somebody answer that for me. You reckon some of them had been over there and done that before? Must have been. But she just standing there, little negligee torn, her lipstick smeared, and brought right before Jesus, the Savior of the world. You know what he done? In the 8th chapter of John, in the 8th verse, it said he stooped down and wrote on the ground. What record what he wrote? You ever thought about that? You know what he done the first time he stooped down? Him and God the Father stooped down and pulled together some dust. You know what he done? He made man. And he might have been thanking God right there. Lord, you know these people are made of earth and they have earthly ways, but I give my life to save them. And that old girl, they said, where are you accusing Jesus? Did she said, I have none, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Can't you just see her going over that road, getting her clothes in shape, wiping whatever lipstick she had left off? Well, back then, they had temple prostitutes. You couldn't hardly believe that, but they did back then. And I believe she walked up on that doorstep to that little home she had. And I believe she had a husband. And I think they may have had some children. And she said, honey, I'm not worthy, but I want to come home. And he said, what did Jesus say? And you know what she said? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He said, come on in, honey, and we'll make the best of what we've got left. I'm telling you today, it's marvelous what grace will do. Let's stand and give an invitation. Would you like to know him today? I'm talking about in a new birth, not just some kind of a relationship. There's too many of that relationship that's going to foul today everywhere. They break up. But this thing won't break up. This thing we're talking about here in this mother church's womb, when that happens, that you don't have to worry about a breakup there. Sing when you're ready. Ready. If you're ready, let's see your hand this morning. You ready? You ready over here? How about that? Isn't that wonderful? Are you ready today? God bless you. Listen now on this last verse. If you're not ready, it's just as simple as, Lord, forgive me. It's like ABC. Acknowledge that you're a sinner, and all of us are, my friends. Right here's one of them. All have sinned and come short, that's A. And then believe that he is the Savior, the Son of God, the only begotten. They're building a church right across from my home church right now that thinks you can do enough good works, and they'll be to your house, and they'll offer to cut your grass, clean your windows, they'll offer to put a new roof on or anything. And they think if they work enough, they finally become just like Jesus Christ. Never a man spoke like this. There'll never be another that I'd have to stand up and tell them if they beat me to death with stones. There'll never be another Jesus Christ. He was the only begotten Son of God. They'll be to see. I don't know one lady, two deacons of my church told me they were there doing some plumbing work. And this lady had an immaculate house. One of them happened to ask her what was her religion. And she told him, and it was the same religion that's building right across my home church. He said, how did you get into that? She said, they come and cut my grass every week. They painted my shutters. They cleaned out my gutters. I'm going to tell you, Ephesians 2:8-9 said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Not what we do, my friend. God bless. I just hope somebody comes along. It's got courage. We're not for sale, are we, boys? And ladies and gentlemen, we're not for sale at Silver City. And we're not for sale at Coal Mount either. As long as I got a drop of blood left in me, it'll be the way of the cross with me, and I'll preach it to last breath. Have you got a personal time in your personal life when you met the personal Jesus? And He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's just how simple it is. Acknowledge your sinner. Believe He's the Savior. Confess Him before the world. That's what we do when we come. A, B, C. Kids learn that by the first grade, don't they? Sometimes old men and women can't learn that spiritually. Acknowledge we all have sinned. He is wonderful Savior. And then confess Him to the world. Let's do one more, and then I'm going to get you. I'm glad I know Him, aren't you? I'm just like that old man was. Lord, You have forgiven me. Okay, we'll not tarry too long. Jesus done things in a hurry. He didn't heal people by stages. After you send in so much money and you plant a seed and you draw back $1,000 for it. He didn't do it that way. He just said, rise and walk. He spoke to the leper and they were cleansed. He didn't do it by steps, it just like that. And He'd still do it. He's the great I am. I'm going to have a benediction. When God blesses the service, we ought to always pray and thank Him for it. And I'll be back here at the door. I need to get back there because I'm not going back up here a third time. I know where I might be. But old John, I want to tell you what he did. We went to one church and I was going to help him down. I thought, surely he won't get down on his knees to pray. Oh, I got it, Robert. He got my hand off his shoulder. He crawled out. It took him about a minute to get down on the floor. And I wish that prayer was on tape somewhere. It was down at High Tower. I wish you could hear that prayer. And when he started to get up, I was going to help him. Oh, I got it, he said. Up he come. We had a great time. I told him, I said, this makes me think of that movie that I like so much. I'm driving Miss Daisy. I was driving John. And everybody swarmed him like bees. That's a man of integrity. And I don't want to walk in the church I've pastored and have to hide my face. I don't want to walk back in up here and have to apologize to you, my friend. I want my soul to be clear that I've been honest and real with you. What was that story about the old horse that said that it hurt to be real? You know, the kids would play with it and its hair would be wore off, its mane would be gone. It hurts to be real now, my friend. And I get real with my children sometimes. If I get the need to tell them something, I've still got that finger to get in their face. I don't care what kind of a PhD. I don't care whose judge they used to represent. I don't care nothing about that. I'm talking about the great God of this universe. While we bow, Roger Slate, will you have the benediction? I'll be at the door.